All right, it's going. Hey, welcome to a special on the road edition of Good Brews, Bad Views, post Gen Con edition. Woo, Gen Con!
Gen Con!
Woo! So, GBBV and associates have just left Gen Con. We are on the road to our annual post Gen Con luncheon at Payne's, aka Paxter's. And so, while everything's fresh in our mind, we thought we would give just what we thought about Gen Con. Best beers, best games, best meals, and best Gen Con thing that's non-board gaming related. So, James, why don't you start off? Favorite beer of Gen Con?
Whatever that one that we had on the first day was. That was the port beer. You know the name of it.
Yes, that would be Don't Call Me Busey by Sun King Brewery. Sun King had a little beer garden set up right outside of Gen Con where all the food trucks were. Very, very convenient. That was a blackberry sour aged in port barrels.
Yes, it was very good.
Yeah. And as someone who's recently discovered and gotten into port, I really enjoyed to have that taste in a beer as well.
All right. Ryan, how about you?
Oh, boy. I had a lot of good beers. So a friend of the show, Steve Cuff, tagged along for part of this. So we kind of hopped in a Lyft and drove around to a couple different places and sampled a bunch of beers. But my absolute favorite overall was the Key Lime Tau from Cooked Stave. Let me get into the details to properly describe this, but it was just a glorious, glorious beer. So this was a mixed culture fermentation ale aged in oak with lactose, fresh lime peel, and fresh lemongrass. And it was wonderful.
Who made that beer?
Crooked Stave.
Oh, yeah, sorry. And for me, it would be a Peach Dodo, which was a peach goza from Rheingeist out of Cincinnati, which we had at dinner one night. But honorable mention, Steve Cuff brought us a bottle of Batch 100, supposedly the final bottle in existence, from Raised Grain Brewery, which was a imperial stout with coffee, a little bit of chocolate. We had that last night as we were gaming late into the evening back at our hotel.
And getting yelled at by the hotel staff.
Yeah,
for being quote-unquote loud, which we probably weren't. The pizza people were being quite loud, though.
That was a good one too. That was a very rich, drink, but in a good way. That was good. Thanks, Steve.
That was a good way to like wrap up the evening after a very good Gen Con, for all intents and purposes. So next we're going to go into favorite game. Let's start with Ryan.
Favorite game. That's a tough one. But there's always a bunch of good games at Gen Con, but I think my favorite one, maybe I'm biased, I ended up buying it, was Hot Shots, which is an up to four player cooperative firefighter game where a fire spreads throughout the game board and you and your buddies are supposed to run around and put all the fires out. It's got some really neat mechanics. It's a lot of fun. I liked it a lot. But, and I'll leave this to James, another one that I liked a lot was Not Alone, which was an excellent, how would you describe that? Not Alone.
One versus all game.
Yeah, just an asymmetrical, competitive game. We also, Truck Off was cool, a simple little game, driving food trucks to different locations and trying to get, the most customers and whatnot to get to your food truck was fun. But, alright, I'll quit hogging the mic.
Okay. Alright, for me, the favorite game I played, I actually did not buy because our gaming group already owns 1.5 copies. That was the spice trading game whose name escapes me.
Century Spice Road.
Yeah, Century Spice Road, which is basically Plan B Games. That was basically a resource kind of trading game. You have one type of cube, which can be used to trade into different kinds of cubes based off of action cards, and you get victory points by fulfilling, like, oh, I have two browns, a red, a green, and three yellows. That gets me X amount of points. The first person to get five victory cards kind of ends the game. James won by a single point. There was a loud cry, and that attracted the attention of many of the demoers who knew that it was then a good game. They also have a fantasy version of that game that Ryan ended up picking up.
Yeah.
It's more golem, very crystal based, as opposed to spices.
Right, yeah, so the mechanics are the same. It's just I really liked the art a lot better and the theme. Where I guess you're collecting different elements, and the game pieces are transparent, different colors. But the idea of creating golems is more interesting to me than like food.
Yeah. Although I'll say the favorite game that I myself picked up, I have not yet played it, but just the sheer design of it and the artwork was beautiful, would be Wasteland Express Delivery Service by Pandasaurus Games. The designers are from our local area, so we'll be chatting with them more about that when I actually get to play it. Also from Adam's Apples Games, who are the company that made the food truck game, Food Truckin'. We actually got Truck Off, sorry.
Food Truckin'.
We met Adam Rayberg, who is also the designer of Brewin' USA, which is a auction-based beer game that licensed actual beers from around the United States to use within the game, and is just seemed very much committed to the theme of a craft beer game. Or he expressed interest in actually being on the podcast, so we hope to talk with him in the future. So last, James, what was your games of the con?
I'm gonna go with Don't or Not Alone, which is by Stronghold Games. That is, like Ryan said, it's a one versus all asymmetrical game that is card based. And so it's one person plays a sentient planet that sends out creatures to try to eat the other players who have been who are crash landed on the planet, and both sides are working towards alternate goals to either eat everyone or have their rescue ship arrive before everyone is eaten.
Right.
Every game we've played, what, three or four games now of that?
Yeah.
And every game we've played, either side was within, or both yeah. sides were within one or two turns
yeah,
of winning.
Yeah, just about a dead heat every time.
Yeah.
Have you played a session where the planet has won?
Yeah.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, Ryan won.
Very good, very good.
Ryan won and I won, yeah. Actually. When I played the planet, I won.
Yeah, we were within a point last night when I was playing as the planet. So very, very fun game.
Just a quick mention, I forgot. So the Hot Shots game, my favorite, was by Fireside Games.
Yeah. And speaking of Fireside, I picked up a game I played at Origins called Kaiju Crush,
right,
which is a city destruction game where you are four kaiju that fight each other, and it plays with like a the combat system is fun. I'm pretty sure it's actually a modified version of Rock Paper Scissors Lizard Spock. Is that a thing?
That's a thing.
That's a thing.
Big Bang Theory, I think.
Okay, yeah, it might be. From there, I don't know. I just know it's a modified version that makes Rock Paper Scissors a little more interesting. And then I also thoroughly enjoyed Century Spice Road, even though I played that before. I pulled people in and really wanted to show that off because I think that's probably well, I may have had more fun playing Don't or Not Alone. I keep saying I'm trying to call it
like
Don't Starve.
Don't Starve. Yeah.
I may have more fun.
Very hungry.
More fun playing Don't or Not Alone. Can do it again.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any game that I played there that has as tight of mechanics as Century Spice Road does. That game just feels so good.
Yeah,
that was a game that's very much my kind of game as far as the logistics and planning your multiple turns ahead of like, okay, if I do this turn, this turn two, this turn three, I can then get this 20-point victory condition. So, I also love the aggravation that game gives you when someone else is doing that, because you can't really keep track of all the cards they have in their hand, of what the actions they can do, and they steal it like a turn before, or you know, you're so caught up in like what you are doing, you're really not paying too much of attention to the engine that your opponents are building. So I very much enjoy that.
Right. So for as much as we played that game the other day, I'm actually kind of impressed that no one made any Dune references. But good job, guys.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the artwork is very, very high quality in there. So it has the Middle Asia. So it, as well as having like the
East Asia.
Middle East. It also has some China and I think there's some Japan in there.
I'm thinking it's supposed to,
probably India. India, yeah, India.
A game about flowing spice. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you could easily reskin that to be Dune related.
Dune.
So that I think that wraps up the games. So we like to go to Gen Con to play games, drink beer, but also the meals.
Yes.
Indy's got some really great restaurants that you tend to go to the same three or four, it feels like. So let's do favorite meals. I'll start this one off. Barcelona's tapas. There is, without a doubt, the communal experience of getting like 15 plates and sharing them and just nibbling at things here and there, and just the wide variety of things that you can nibble on. I don't like olives, but I love the olives they have there. Best olives I've ever had, not in a martini. And that's actually where I had the Peach Dodo, so, which was just a nice light beer to go along with the 5,000 other things we were eating. James?
Exact same place for pretty much the exact same reasons. That's okay. I said it there, that might be my favorite meal I have all year.
Yeah, hands down, Barcelona. So the food is absolutely incredible every time. And we order at least 30% of the things on the menu. So we try so much of what they offer, and it's all so good. Like Max, the communal aspect, it's just a fun, relaxed, loud evening. We're all just screaming at each other, having a good time. And again, the Peach Dodo was super good. That was one of my favorite beers of the trip.
Yeah.
But I have to give an honorable mention for food to the Sinking Ship, which is where Cuff Jordan and I drove to the other day, and where I had that Key Lime Tao. But their food was actually super good, and their menu was kind of cool, too. So honorable mention for those guys.
Yeah. I'm going to give a shout-out to the food trucks. So around the Indie Convention Center, where Gen Con is, there's just lines and lines of food trucks. And they had an Indian food truck that I went to one day for lunch. And James and I went to a Brazilian one, I believe yesterday, which would be Saturday. And the food trucks have been consistently very fast service, and they weren't running out of food like they were a couple years ago when I first went, where it was like, well, I'm staying in this line because it's the shortest, but they're sold, because they're sold out of everything except the like $15 food option, but right. Which I'm going to buy because of convenience, but I'm not happy about it. So last but not least, there's much more than just board games and RPGs going on to Gen Con. So what was your favorite non-gaming or board gaming or role-playing gaming thing that you saw or did while at the con? Well, let's go with Ryan.
Well, the closest thing I would have would be True Dungeon, which is just excellent every year. It's such a unique experience. It's got depth to it, but it's not so much depth that it's you can't pull in someone off the street and be like, hey, come play this with me, probably. Yeah. And they'll have a good time with it. Just, you know, the effects, the atmosphere, it's just so fun.
Ryan, why don't you explain what True Dungeon is for listeners who have not been to Gen Con or one of the other cons where they have that?
Right. All right. So True Dungeon is, I kind of shy away from using the term LARPing because that's a little bit too much there. But so it's a group of 10 players that will go through kind of, think of like a haunted house where the people going through the haunted house are actively participating in the events of that haunted house. And you'll have combat rooms where, you know, different enemies have different hitboxes, different, you know, attacks, potentially status effects. And then we've got puzzle rooms interspersed where the team has to work together to figure out, use clues in the room, maybe from the NPCs, maybe from the theme of the game, to bust some pretty interesting, you know, brain games to move on and not take push damage room to room. It's good. Good time.
Yeah, so this is my third year going with you guys to Gen Con, and I would say that the second True Dungeon we went through was probably the best we've been through, just from the cohesiveness of the group. We had some really good people in the group, and just the design of the dungeon itself was spectacular.
Right.
A lot of the ones we've been through, it's been like you go from a cave to a different cave. Well, this was more like you're going through this town. So there was hallways and cellars and stuff, buildings and such. So it was a lot different layout wise. Which was a nice little change. A lot of care went into the design of the of that dungeon, I guess you could say. And
I was gonna say it's a pricier event, but believe us that it is worth every dollar.
Yeah, and that 2 hour, because it's about a 2 hour experience, and it flies by, For me, the best non board gaming or gaming thing was actually the last thing I did at the con. Which was this year, Gen Con rented out the entirety of Lucas Oil Stadium, which is where the Indianapolis Colts play. And they had on the field a kind of historical museum of Gen Con. Like, this year was Gen Con's 50th anniversary, so they had a bunch of like D&D artifacts of, like, the history of D&D, because that's kind of, you know, a lot tied into to gaming, as well as, like, the original programs of Gen Con. So, like, the event schedule was, like, a two-page piece of paper, and now it's, like, this 50-page or a couple hundred-page, you know, book they pass out of, like, all the things going on. So from a just a purely historical perspective of where board gaming and geekdom has been since in the last 50 years, I really, really appreciated that. They had a guy giving the tour who was able to explain a lot of the factoids about this, as a lot of the items on display were from his own personal collection, which was really, really cool. You could open up a little museum and just, you know, have that open year-round. I think people would go to it. But so, James.
I always enjoy my miniatures events that I do for Gen Con. So I paint, and this is the first year I entered into the painting competition. So I enjoyed the experience of doing that, even though it wasn't necessarily during Gen Con, because I've been working on that since February. So that was fun. And I did do a painting event while at Gen Con. I snuck into a... using a generic ticket, which is just a ticket that if nobody shows up, you get to do something. You can do a speed painting competition, and I won. So it's always fun. I painted a little red panda guy.
Oh, that's the first time I heard that you actually won the speed painting thing.
Yeah, I won that speed painting thing.
Next, because didn't you do one last year, but you did not win that one?
Yeah, I didn't win that one. I won the one of my heats at Origins also. Oh. So.
Very cool, very cool. Also, shout out to Arc Dream Publishing, who paid for my event, paid for my badge to go to Gen Con this year, because I ran a total of like 12 hours of Delta Green games on a scenario that's been bubbling around in my brain for the last year. I had, you know, I had a full table every game except for my final one, which is a Saturday, which that's okay. I expected at least one, there'd be one no show, and everyone really loved my scenario. Everyone in the car besides Ryan has played in it. You played in my other games, but one of the players loved it so much. He was like a veteran Delta Green guy. He's like, I'd love to run this for my group. Can you send me it? So I will be sending him my notes and such, and looking forward to getting feedback from how he runs it for his group. But that wraps up our little Gen Con mini episode.
Almost.
Oh.
Almost. So almost. We all screwed up on the beer. Obviously Zima was the best beer we had this weekend. Am I right?
Yeah.
No.
It's Zima. It's just there.
Yeah.
So explain how that Zima came into our possession.
Well, it was a fairly circuitous path that Steve Cuff brought it into the hotel room and kind of distributed it to the group. I don't actually know the full story of how that got there. Like, didn't he leave it with a friend for a couple months, and they were like, why the hell is this even near me, and sent it back with him, I think is what happened.
That sounds about right. So, and there's one, like, one was snuck into my bag. It's still in there. So, yeah, anything else to add, you guys? Other than vitamin Z?
No, Gen Con was great. Thanks for listening.
Oh, one last thing. So, this was Gen Con's 50th anniversary, and they sold out of all the badges for everything. But from how it was done, it didn't feel any busier than it has been in the past. Would you agree?
It was pretty close, yeah.
It's close. In fact, I thought it felt less busy than last year, actually. Whoever redid the logistics of Gen Con and the person flow and the layout did a fantastic job.
So, because that was the big thing. It's like, oh my gosh, Gen Con sold out of everything. We're not going to be able to get a spot at anything. It's going to be a wave of flesh walking through that vendor hall.
Have any of you ever seen Zygote by Oat Studios? It was just, that's what Gen Con would have been.
Yeah. But no, it was not.
One would expect it would have similar aromas.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, they were just, how the con was laid out was just spectacular. We were 15-20 minute drive away from the actual convention, and it was no problem like getting down there every day. Parking was busy, but it wasn't what you wouldn't expect, I would say, right?
Yeah. Well, I came in way earlier than most people ever did, so.
Right.
Yeah. We're surprised you didn't kill us over this weekend. But that's a different... We'll leave that out. So, yeah, thanks for listening, and we'll give you another update next year, I suppose. And looking forward to talking with some people that we met at the con and giving you more good brews and more bad views and more of that jazz.
Right. Drink and game responsibly.
Yep. See you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.